Hey, I'm John and this is your open source news Elements sponsored by Element.fm. Get unlimited podcast hosting for just $5 at Element.fm. Now to the news. Let's kick off this episode by shining a light on Adafruit Industries, a true pillar in the DIY electronics world. If you're into making, tinkering or coding, you've no doubt come across their site or their projects before. What stands out about Adafruit is not just their ever-expanding selection of microcontrollers and modules, though that's impressive enough, but their unwavering commitment to empowering their community. Through a bustling blog and comprehensive tutorials, Adafruit turns electronics from daunting to doable for makers of all skill levels, from school kids to seasoned engineers. That blog is more than a newsfeed. It's a living, breathing meeting place where users swap stories, advice, and support. It lets folks showcase their own wild project ideas, whether it's a music-synced LED wall or a homebrew sensor setup, and encourages that vital hands-on approach. Key to all this, components like Arduino and Raspberry Pi, making prototyping as easy as pie and lowering the barrier for anyone wanting to invent. It's this culture of creativity and practical know-how that keeps the open-source hardware scene so vibrant here in Australia and globally as well. But of course, the world of tech isn't just about innovation. It's also about navigating sharp turns in legal and industry dynamics. Take, for example, the latest in the DJI court saga, which is sending shockwaves through both the drone and the wider electronics ecosystem. If you haven't heard, DJI has just lost a key legal skirmish with the US Department of Defense. The US courts have officially classified DJI as a Chinese military company, a move that triggers an impending import ban on DJI gear in the States. It's a sharp reminder that in today's climate, global politics and commerce are deeply entwined. For businesses and hobbyists alike, this means potential supply constraints and shifting strategies, as geopolitical tides redefine what tech is available on the market. It also highlights how sensitive high-tech industries can be to international policy pressures and legal outcomes. Staying on the business front, we've also got fresh reports around Electronic Arts, or EA, the gaming giant known for titles like FIFA and Apex Legends. Apparently, EA is exploring a staggering $50 billion private acquisition, news that could send huge ripples through the gaming sector. If that deal goes through, it won't just be about a changing logo on the boxes. We could be looking at industry-wide consequences, from franchise consolidation to shifts in how developers pitch, publish, and market their games. But more importantly, this underscores just how much confidence big investors have in the gaming industry, despite its notorious ups and downs. All eyes will be on EA's boardroom over the coming months, as the drama unfolds and new industry alliances are forged. But let's pivot now to the nuts and bolts of what makes our devices tick, both software and hardware, starting with the Linux kernel. Linux 6.18 is on track to become one of the most feature-rich updates in recent memory, and its impact is set to be felt far beyond the enthusiast crowd. Among the headline upgrades, native support for next-gen eUSB 2v2 webcams, a crucial boost for anyone who relies on high-quality streaming and teleconferencing. The update will also enable online file system checks for XFS by default, which translates to better performance and reliability. EXFAT users, rejoice! There are performance optimizations coming here too, smoothing out transfers for everything from high-capacity SD cards to external SSDs. Probably the most groundbreaking is the arrival of Sheaves, a per-CPU caching layer, primed to supercharge system-wide efficiency. That should help Linux keep pace in big server deployments, but also make things snappier on smaller devices where every cycle counts. We're looking at a raft of brand new drivers as well, including for Rockchip's NPU and NVIDIA's GSP for Nuvo, which should extend AI acceleration options. AMD and Intel hardware will get a slew of optimizations, meaning better plug-and-play compatibility with the latest motherboards, chips, and peripherals. Importantly, security won't be left behind. Google's PSP encryption for TCP connections is being baked in, as is AMD's secure AVIC for virtualization. The kernel's expanding RISC-V and Apple Silicon compatibility, opening more doors for both the DIY community and enterprise deployments. If you're running Raspberry Pi or hacking on M1-based hardware, you'll appreciate those Apple Silicon improvements, which open up new hardware for Linux experimentation. All told, Linux 6.18 looks set to reinforce its status as the engine room of open-source progress. And speaking of Raspberry Pi, let's talk about the Pi 500 Plus, which just landed at a price point of just $200. This isn't your granddad's compact PC. It features an M.2-2280 socket for SSD storage expansion, making it suitable for everything from robotics to retro gaming rigs. Upgraded RAM to a whopping 16GB of LPDDR4X shows the Pi's ambitions to tackle heavier-duty workloads. And the upgraded chassis, a full-fledged keyboard computer, sports RGB lighting, and clicky mechanical switches for those who want a tactile edge. Whether you're an Aussie student learning to code, or a pro developer building rapid-fire prototypes, the Pi 500 Plus brings desktop-class performance to a form factor that's always ready for adventure. It's as plug-and-play as they come. The Pi community's support has only grown with this release, pushing open hardware forward and keeping costs accessible to the masses. But what about the energy powering all that new gear? There are some genuinely eye-opening findings in a new study out this month, which compares the efficiency of running data centers on renewable energy versus nuclear. Turns out, renewables, especially when integrated into local microgrids, aren't just more sustainable, but are edging out nuclear in terms of cost per megawatt. That makes a strong case for businesses and server farms looking to cut long-term costs whilst shrinking their carbon footprint. Offshore wind, rooftop solar, and large-scale battery storage are all coming together, creating microgrid setups that can dynamically flex to supply surges and dips. It's a sign our appetite for data doesn't have to come at the planet's expense, and the tech sector's sustainability conversation is clearly moving from aspiration to action here in Australia too. Meanwhile, cultural debates about how, where, and why we work are still hot topics, with ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt weighing in just recently. Schmidt claims America's tech workers should toughen up their schedules to stay competitive with peers overseas. His remarks sparked the predictable storm of debate, with some championing the go-hard ethic, and others defending work-life balance and the realities of burnout. The bigger picture. As Aussie tech jobs become more globally competitive, we'll continue to reckon with these tensions: productivity versus well-being, grind versus growth. It's not just an American story, but one that's playing out in every co-working space, startup, and developer Slack thread from Sydney to Perth. On a related note, Apple's making fresh headlines in the enterprise world. Recent surveys show a surge in US businesses adopting Apple devices in the workplace, a movement that's gaining traction here in Australia as well. Companies aren't just buying iPhones and MacBooks for their slick looks. They're rolling them out for better security and user-friendly performance. For a lot of enterprises, it's also about meeting workforce preferences. Tech that's familiar, easy to secure, and seamlessly managed. As more firms embrace flexible work and remote setups, the demand for robust, secure, easy-to-integrate hardware only grows. We'll be keeping an eye on how this shapes up in Australia, especially with BYOD policies and enterprise fleet management tools evolving fast. Now, changing gears entirely, let's talk about what's happening in movie land. If you're nostalgic for a tub of popcorn and a night at the movies, new data might surprise you or feel all too familiar. A recent APNOR poll reports that 3 in 4 adults in the US now prefer streaming newly released films at home, and only 16% are still frequenting theaters once a month or more. That's a sea change from just a few years ago, and Aussie audiences are making similar choices as streaming platforms multiply options and convenience. It underscores just how deeply streaming has sunk its claws into the culture, especially in a post-pandemic landscape where we prize flexibility. For filmmakers and the entertainment sector, this means continuous reinvention and creative new business models. Cinema chains will need to think outside the box. Exclusive premieres, event screenings, unique experiences, to draw punters back. Now, let's go deeper into the legal weeds, where copyright and intellectual property law are being hotly contested. In courtrooms across the US, we're seeing cases with global impacts, including the much-discussed legal duel between Jimmy Kimmel and politician George Santos. At the heart of this battle was the concept of fair use, the idea that you can reuse others' material in transformative ways, especially for parody, commentary, or news. Kimmel scored a key win as the court ruled in his favor, reaffirming that commentary and remixing, even by big broadcasters, can be legitimate under US law. That has ripple effects for everyone from meme makers to journalists here in Australia, as we watch how these precedents shape global copyright norms. The underlying theme: it's a balancing act between protecting the original creator's rights and enabling open, sometimes irreverent, free expression and innovation across the digital sphere. Along related lines, GitHub has overhauled its approach to copyright takedowns in an effort to shield developers from excessive legal threats. Their new policies put developers first, manually reviewing takedown requests to verify legitimacy and avoid collateral damage. This is all unfolding as the U.S. Supreme Court prepares to take up a case that could set important standards for copyright enforcement online, potentially influencing how code, art, and commentary are policed in Australia and beyond. Advocates are urging for clearer liability rules so that platforms like GitHub aren't forced to err on the side of overzealous censorship that could stifle developer innovation. Ultimately, the future of online collaboration and creativity hinges not only on new legal definitions, but on communities pulling together, supporting each other, and understanding the line between protection and progress. It's an ongoing story, and one to watch closely. So to wrap things up today, what unites all these stories from Adafruit to Apple, from legal showdowns to code breakthroughs, is the sheer speed of change in tech. Organizations, hobbyists, and consumers all have to keep learning, iterating, and building communities that embrace progress. The open source spirit, sharing, contributing, and collaborating, remains at the heart of that journey. Whether you're hacking in a Brisbane makerspace or leading an international team, we'll be watching how these developments continue shaping our digital landscape. Check back next time for another deep dive into the world of open source news. Thanks for listening.